Welcome to the Authors Network Radio Show, a weekly show where we will feature the work of authors from around the world. Tune in and listen to their stories, as well as tips and insights into authorship. Now here's your host and best-selling author, Tony Gambone.
All right, welcome to the show. My name is Tony Gambone, and I'm super excited today. And for those of you that listen to me regularly, you know that I'm super excited every show. This is what I'm passionate about. This is what I love to do the most. It's what makes me snap out of any kind of funk I might be in during the day is when I get to do a radio show, when I get to learn a bit more about others, when I get to share what they're doing with people. I just get excited, folks. Now, a lot of times people think I'm crazy, but at the end of the day, for me, it's all about what I can gather up, what I can learn, and what I can do with it. And we can't always use everything that we hear the day we hear it. But if you practice listening more, you're able to learn a whole bunch. And it just seems like whenever you need that information, it's there for you to use. So today we have a great show. Lori Allen, who's out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area, is our guest, okay? And, well, I'm excited because she's known as the Soundbite Coach. And we all need help with our sound bites. So, for instance, you know, I run networking groups, and we're always talking about the six-foot rule. People go to a networking lunch or breakfast, and they talk to anybody within 6 foot of them. They leave, and I know the air kind of gives you amnesia, so I understand. But they might be in a store or in some other place of business, and the six-foot rule goes away. They don't talk to anybody. And most of the time, unless they can hand you a business card, they don't want to talk. Reason being is they're afraid of what they might say right or wrong. So someone like Lori Allen can help people know what to say in one sentence that's going to cover everything they need to say. So, you know, our attention span as Americans now, well, I think it gets 1 second less every day. So before you know it, it'll be 3 seconds long. But I think it's 7 to 9 seconds that someone's paying attention. So it's really important to get the good information out quickly. Whether you're standing in Walmart, the grocery store, or a B&I breakfast group, it's important to be able to describe what you do in a manner where people will understand it. I'm going to give you, for instance, I'm a radio host, a trainer, and a producer of radio shows. And when people ask me what I do, if I tell them the technical side of things on the radio, I put them to sleep. But if I just say I host, produce, and train people how to do internet radio shows, it says it all right there. You don't have to go much deeper because I'm not in that conversation to talk about me. I'm there to ask them about them. So there's a lot of things that go together, and Lori is going to teach us a whole bunch of it. So what I want to do today is talk about a couple of things, okay? We had a show earlier today, Writers Nations Radio, with Shalonda Norman and Kenine Morgan, and they do a show for authors. And one of the things that they did to start the show off was they showed how titles, sort of like sound bites, make people turn their heads. So they started off their show by saying, today we want to talk about politics, and I'm going to vote for Donald Trump. Co-hosts got very quiet. And they did it to prove that it's not who they're voting for, but sometimes when you say things or title things a certain way, everyone stops and listens. So it's important to know that part, especially if you're an author or a speaker. Okay, and if you're an author and you don't speak, well, it's kind of like being a speaker without a book. You're leaving something on the table there that you could cover more ground with. So we've got a whole bunch of stuff lined up for that today that you're going to learn more about. You're going to learn more about TX Authors. Go to txauthors.com and make sure to sign up for the conference. It is April 30th, May 1st. It's going to be an awesome weekend. If you're an author, a speaker, looking to write a book, looking to become a speaker, okay? And Lori Allen's going to be there, so if you're having trouble with the first 7 seconds of your speak, This is a great opportunity to meet people there that are going to be able to show you how you can take advantage of so many things. So many things that are going to help you not only stand up better in front of the room, but generate revenue. And you know, when we generate revenue, we get super excited that the fact that what we're doing is working. Because when you work real hard and you can't generate any revenue from it, after a while, it gets frustrating. Frustration turns into bad habits. Bad habits turn into giving up. And then the next thing you know, you're on LinkedIn thinking, well, I wonder if I get a job if I put my resume out. So let's get a good plan together. You know, I talked last week about March Madness. We're in the middle of it, right? You basketball fans out there, March Madness is here. Well, I'm not a big basketball fan. I do like to watch the Final Four because it's exciting to see who's going to win. There's that Cinderella team that comes from nowhere that has drive and heart and persistence and dedication and obedience, and they're going to win. What about business owners? It's March. Okay, we're in the third month of the new year. What kind of madness are you going through? Is it the madness that you haven't conquered anything that you set out to do January 1st when you made that whole big list of what you're going to do this year? Is it madness because business is going better than you thought? Is it a ghost town? Is it madness because you're not sure what to do? Are you staring at some money in the bank and deciding whether you should put it into marketing, hiring a coach, or just keeping it in the bank to draw, I don't know, 1%, 2% interest? What are you doing out there? What's your march like? Is it madness? Are you willing to be that Cinderella business and come from way down below? No one's expecting you to succeed. Are you willing to take the steps to be obedient, to drive the force, to gain more opportunity in your business? Are you willing to hire someone? Are you willing to listen to some advice? These are the questions you got to ask yourself, okay? If you're an author, you're a business owner, okay? Unless you just like riding around with a box of books in the trunk of your car. If you're a speaker, you're a business owner. You have to go out and speak and generate something from that speak. So for a lot of us, the speaking, the writing is easy. It's the process after that's going to make us revenue. TXAuthors.com, you can find the page on there. It's called, I just lost it in my mind here. I'll bring it up here in a second. But you can go there and you can find COAD, the tab. Click on it. Register. You're going to have a room full of people that will be able to help you get to where you need to be. Like-minded people. People that have already made the mistakes. People that are already trying to do better. Take a chance. What do you got to lose? Could your madness get better? Could it get worse? Choices you make today will put you where you are tomorrow. Just saying. Okay, so you can call into the show, 347-989-1363. Press 1 if you want to ask a question, join the conversation, or just listen by phone. Okay? And then you can also find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. Just type in Tony Gambone or Radio Network. Make sure to go to txauthors.com and check out that page, okay? I'm excited because I've interviewed just about everyone that's going to be at that conference. And I can personally tell you, if you're wondering, go back and listen to the archives at TX Authors on Writers Nations Radio. Or, wrong show, Authors. AuthorsNetworkRadio.com. You can find it on TuffTalkRadioNetwork.com platform. Okay, so we're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to bring up Lori Allen. And, she's been amongst some great people. If you go to her website, and I'm going to tell you that so you can find it while we're on break. It's SoundbiteCoach.com. She's been recognized with some of the top people in television and broadcasting. So fill up that bottle of water, get another cup of coffee. I'm sure it's happy hour somewhere in the world as well. Just stay tuned. Get a bigger piece of paper. Challenge yourself to take notes and do something about what's not going right for you. We'll be right back after this short break.
You've written a great novel, and now it's time to sit back and roll in the dough. Not. In today's saturated world of book publishing, an author must know how to sell their book. At the Celebration of Authors event, we have created 12 fun-filled, information-packed seminars to help give you a valuable boost in selling your book. Join us on April 30th in Austin, Texas, as we celebrate writing and marketing. To learn more, go to txauthors.com and click on COAD.
Join Shalonda, Norman, and Kaneen Morgan every Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. Central Standard Time on the Tough Talk Radio Network for Writers Nation Radio. Writers Nation's mission is to provide a trusted source of information, a dynamic network of writing experts, and writing entertainment for curious and thoughtful writers and authors. Learn more by going to WritersNationRadio.com. Writers Nation Radio, showcasing writers and helping them soar. Tune in every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help you take the next step in your relationship with Christ. Listen in to hear from others about their experiences of faith and the love of Christ. Call in to share your experiences at 347-989-1363. Learn more by going to toughtalkchristianradio.com.
All right, welcome back to the show. TX Authors Conference 2016 is something that we're real excited about here at the Tough Talk Radio Network. Make sure to go and register today, okay? Limited space. It's April 30th, May 1st. You can go to txauthors.com. Click on the tab that says COAD, Celebration of Authors Dinner. And there's a whole lineup of people that are going to be there, and we've interviewed most of them here on the show so that you can get a taste of what you're going to be in store for. My guest today is Lori Allen. Okay, she runs a company that works with people who wants to craft a clear media message and with organizations that need to communicate quickly in a crisis. She is the co-author of Be a Newsmaker, Master the Media with Clarity, Command, and Credibility, and Speak to Success. She's been a part of NSA for a while. She has been, she's appeared on PBS, HBO, Good Morning America. She has clients that have been everywhere in those areas. There's a whole bunch we're going to learn about, Lori, but what I want to do is bring her up on the show and quiz her ourselves. So, Lori, welcome to the show.
Tony, thanks so much for having me. You are doing a great job. I can say that with authority because I have done radio for years too.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you. It's always a great compliment to get someone like yourself to tell me that. I never in my wildest dreams thought that I would ever host an internet radio show. And at my age, it wasn't one of the boxes you checked off when you were in high school or even 20 years out of high school, or maybe even 40 years out of high school. But the thing of it is what a great opportunity for me to meet people around the world and market them to the listeners so that they can get the help they need. So I know you're in Dallas area. Tell me where you're from originally.
Oh, I'm a Texas native, but in the last 8 years, my husband and I have had 8 addresses across 3 states. We still have a house in the Atlanta, Georgia area. We got caught in the Great Recession. But, Tony, like you, I am a person of faith, and I believe that each one of those moves was ordained. And I'm happy to be back in Texas where I can get plenty of Mexican food, Tex-Mex, and salsa.
Yeah, it keeps my weight up. that's funny. I've been reading on your website, and I want to let people know that they can find more about going to soundbitecoach.com. Okay, and there's a lot of stuff on here. I mean, a ton of stuff. And you've been with some big names. Okay, but before we get to all that, I want to talk about what brought you to this process. I mean, what made you one day say, hey, you know what? I think I'm going to be the soundbite coach. Is your background, was it college, was it a job you had? Tell us how you got there.
Tony, it was actually one incident. I can trace this back to while I was in college, 100 years ago in Austin at the University of Texas at Austin. I was getting a degree in journalism with a specialization in broadcast journalism, and I was interning at the ABC affiliate in Austin. It was one summer, and I was shadowing a reporter. I was going out with her and watching how she did interviews and watching how the photographer worked with her and how they treated people that they interviewed. And she did what was called a pre-interview, you know, just talking to someone before she was going to get her photographer to start the camera. And it was about some kind of environmental issue. We were out by a creek, and I don't even remember what side of the issue this gentleman was on, but she's talking to him beforehand, and he's very articulate. He's got facial expressions. He's got some personality. And then the photographer comes along, and she's ready to start the interview. The camera starts rolling, and a little red light on the camera goes on, and this man just freezes. And everything that he had said before just wouldn't come out. And she might have even said, it was not a live interview, it was being taped. She might have even said something like, it's okay to give me the answers that you gave me before. Those were great. But he was deer in the headlines. He was stuck, and he could not articulate a thing. So, you know, that made her job harder because then she had to paraphrase or find someone else to give his point of view. And the poor guy, you know, he's probably still having nightmares about that. So I get a degree in broadcast journalism, and I start interviewing people like that through the years. And that would always come back to me when people got a little bit nervous, and I felt sorry for them. Just because someone doesn't know the rules of the game and how things are going to work, does that mean they shouldn't have an opportunity to get their point across? People should know what's going to be expected of them when the reporters come out and start grilling them, or even just a friendly interview. We just want to hear your side of it so that they don't get stuck, they don't get frozen.
Well, you know, Lori, when it comes to preparing, I'm probably on the wrong side of that. I don't seem to do good with that. You know, I can write a speech and I can practice it, but when I show up to speak, it's just a different conversation altogether. When I work on my 30-second elevator pitch, it just seems to change. Now, in all fairness, I know people have a wide range of information they can give out depending on the room full of people that they're speaking to. But do you find a lot of people are either word for word what they wrote or nothing even close? Is there a middle in there that you can teach them how to be able to stay obedient to what it is they're supposed to say but not sound like they, you know, have been practicing those same words for 100 years?
Well, Tony, you obviously have the gift of gab, and you feel comfortable. I mean, there's several phrases that we say, you know, you're talking off the top of your head, you're speaking from the hip, you're talking on your feet, several body parts that we can relate to it. But you're obviously comfortable, and you're not going to get nervous, so you can say what's on your mind. Some people, and many authors are this way, you know, that's one reason they're authors. They feel very comfortable behind the computer, on the keyboard, and letting their writing doing the talking for them. So that's real important why we're talking about this at the authors conference, because authors sometimes need that help of, hey, I'm going to be scared to death when that microphone is shoved under my chin or when the lights go on. So get back to more to your question. It's kind of your comfort level. If you're real comfortable speaking off the cuff or you're not and that scares you to death, it's better for you to practice. It's better for you to prepare what the questions might be, have some bullet points and have some notes. And yes, I do agree with you that there might be some people that are kind of in between or people who've gotten so much practice that they feel much more comfortable than they used to, so they can go with just a few notes in their hand.
So do you work with speakers as far as their speak, or is it just basically authors that can give a soundbite, or is it deeper than that? I mean, do you work with the author to help them what's going to be put on the back of their book or anything in the book?
I haven't been asked to do that too much. I have done some ghostwriting, but typically it's preparing the author for a media tour or their local hometown newscast. There's a couple different ways that authors and other people can get some publicity and help sell their book. They can speak on a talk show like this where you get to speak for longer. You know, I might have had a 45-second soundbite there a while ago. But if you're going to be talking to your local news department and they want to know something based on your expertise or even talking about your book, maybe you've got an event where you're signing books, they're going to want a soundbite. And by soundbite, it's kind of like you were talking about earlier. It's really short. A typical soundbite is 6 to 10, 12 seconds max. And it's got to be catchy. It's got to be attention-grabbing. And it's got to be memorable. So I'll give you an example. You're in Texas. I'm in Texas. You may remember a former governor we had called Ann Richards. She did not say, that proposal is bureaucratic and costly and it will never happen. No, she used more colorful speech. She would say, well, that dog won't hunt. And so you remember what she said and you remember her as somebody who got her points across. So that's what authors can do to help people remember the title of their book. They can also repeat the title. Don't do it every answer on a talk show because, right, Tony, that will annoy you. It sure annoyed me back when I was doing radio. But it's okay to mention your book every once in a while so that people can write down the title or they can make sure that they can get a copy of it.
So, you know, Lori, I teach people a course on how to be a better guest on the radio.
Oh,
and,
good.
You know, as you mentioned, you know, people want to mention their book or their coaching program or, you know, their stuff, their product, their service, because it's the best in the whole wide world. And you're right. You can't keep saying it over and over because people are going to hang up and not listen. But one of the tricks, and I'm sure you're very good at teaching people this, is how to, I call it walk the dog around the back of the house and bring them in through the back door to have that conversation again. So do you work with people with doing that? So, like, I mean, you mentioned the title of a book, and then you're asked a question, and then you're asked another question. Are you able to show them how to bring them back to that title of the book again?
Well, I would like to hear you talk about coming in the back door. That sounds very interesting. That was a great soundbite, Tony.
Well, I always seem to... So I'll tell you, so my background is 20 years in the gaming industry. I worked in the casinos in Las Vegas, throughout the South, opened up riverboats, training, all that stuff. And as a dealer for the first 10 years, I had a short amount of time to get a player to give me the last bit of their losing money as a tip because I didn't make anything but, I think it was $27 a shift back in the 80s. So, you know, we lived off of tips. So I had to figure out quickly on how to entertain them and how to find out information. And I think that's what prepped me in life. You know, we talk about how God has this crazy way of putting us in places. But it prepped me in life on how to listen better so that I could sort of walk that dog around the back of the house instead of busting through the front door and come through and ask the questions I need to ask to get the answers I wanted to receive. But a lot of times people want to just talk, you know, it goes back to the 2 ears and one mouth thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and well, they're so keyed up, they're so happy for this opportunity that sometimes they're just, my husband is an example, when he's nervous, he can't shut up. He just talks and talks and talks and talks. And some people are like that. And some people are exactly the opposite. When they're so nervous, they can't talk. So it really does take some coaching, it takes some practice, it takes anticipating the questions. Tony, one of the tips I give people is write down the questions that you anticipate. And, you know, typically the host or especially the news reporters, they don't have time to read every page of every book because they're interviewing so many authors. So they will ask you a typical question about what inspired your book. Or why did you write this book? Or how did you get the idea for this book? You know, all kind of the same question. So if you've got an answer for that, you're going to do well typically on that first question. And then many hosts and reporters are like you, Tony, and this is how I am when I'm doing a show like this, is it's just a conversation. You base your next question on something that I said. So I tell people, write down the questions you anticipate. They probably won't go in order because many hosts don't want to go in that kind of order. They want to feed off of what you say. They're listening closely to every word, but then practice. You know, everybody's got a smartphone now. Get that audio recording little app that comes with the phone, put it on start, and answer your question, and then time it, and then listen to it. First of all, you can have a short answer, like about 10 seconds for a news reporter, and then you can have one that's about 20 or 30 seconds for a show host. And then listen, do you have vocal variety, or do you sound monotone all the way through? Do you have some personality or some passion that's coming through? Would you want to listen to you? Or are you saying, or having some other crutch word, filler word after every sentence? That's, or maybe even after every phrase, that's going to drive somebody nuts. And then I'll tell you, I did a morning show for a long time, and the one thing you need in the morning is energy. So when we had somebody who was like this and had no energy in the morning, we would put a big black star or write kiss of death by that person and try to get them off the phone as quickly as we could, because nobody wants to hear that in the morning. It's just going to put them back to sleep. They need someone with a little bit of excitement.
Yeah,
so you go through and you listen to those answers and you try to think of some ways that you can make them better, maybe shorter, maybe longer, maybe just add a little story here and there.
So when you work with authors and they're getting ready to do an interview, and maybe it's like this here internet radio interview where they're not seen, do you recommend that if their energy is not as high as it should be, or if they're nervous, you know, or, you know, they don't want to have that monotone voice, do you recommend they stand up? Because most people seem to talk better as they're walking.
Yes, standing up. And then I tell them, right before the interview starts, jog in place or do jumping jacks, something to get your heart rate going a little bit. Drink, even if you don't ever drink caffeine, drink a little bit of coffee or have a Coke just so that you can get that energy up so that you sound like you're awake. And that's the most important part, is sounding like you've got some energy, maybe even if you don't. And, you know, some people are just natural at this and some people aren't. Yeah, for the people who are really nervous, it really helps them to prepare. The more prepared you are, the more it takes away your nerves.
Hmm. Okay, so I know that there's some questions. We're getting people asking questions, and I'm going to get them in a second. I love the fact that you're going to be at the event for selfish reasons, okay? I get to sit and meet you face-to-face. I get to quiz you and ask you all kind of questions, okay? And, hey, that's the greatness of doing a radio show. I get a head start, and we started building a relationship already.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I'm seeing that you're going to be doing is you have a hot seat. And I love hot seats. I like to jump right in them and just cough out what I need to learn. And most people are like, oh, I don't really want to do that. And I find if I go first, I got it over with, but yet I got to learn. And it makes me pay attention to the other people in the hot seat, so I'm able to take notes and gain access to more. Do you have trouble getting people to get in the hot seat?
No, typically they want to be there. They're like you. They want to learn. They know that this is the one opportunity that they're going to have to do this. I'll tell you that sometimes I do training for corporations to anticipate crisis, and it'll be a group of, say, 15. And it's the part that makes them nervous typically is not the camera pointed at them, because I record it. It's not the camera pointed at them, but it's all their colleagues watching them. They don't want to look stupid in front of their coworkers. So for the author's conference, what we're doing, we're going to hold the hot seats in a separate room where it's just you and me and the camera in the room. And one of the things I like to do, Tony, is I record the feedback. So I record you in case you're too nervous to remember what you're saying, and then I record some feedback so you don't have to worry about taking notes. And then your homework is you take whatever we recorded, you take it, and you go home and you watch it. Because I can tell you all day long that you're licking your nose after every sentence, and you're not going to believe me until you see it, right?
Yeah, that might be one of the things that I don't believe right away. You're right. That's funny. Okay, so you don't do the hot seat in front of everybody. Disappointed.
No. People are going to choose and sign up to do a hot seat, yeah.
All right. So, now here's a question. Why do you think authors, well, this is a trick question, I guess, but why do you think authors need this session at the TX Authors Conference that they're having on April 30th and May 1st about sound bites? I mean, I know the answer because every author, like myself, seems to have struggles with what it is that they're supposed to do at the right time. So why do you think, what's the professional think why authors need to be there for this session?
I'll tell you that I was actually the media coach for a small publisher. Now, the publisher went out of business, but it wasn't my fault. But I got to coach. The authors would not be put on a publicity tour until they had 1 hour of coaching with me. And it could be by Skype if they felt comfortable doing that, and most of them were, or it could be by phone. But I'll tell you, I had so much fun with that, Tony, because most authors – don't know where to start. If I say, why'd you write your book? They go, they haven't thought about even the easy answers. So just a little bit of coaching can force authors to think about the kinds of questions they might be asked, and it can also prepare them for some of the things that might go wrong. I'll give you an example. I had a co-host who did a lot of these author interviews with me on a certain show. And he was the kind of guy that would read every word of every book, which most authors love. But if their book was fiction, and maybe it had a surprise ending, or maybe it was suspense or crime, he would give the ending away. So most authors handled it real well when he did that, or, you know, they would kind of fuss at him in a good-natured way, like, oh, I can't believe you just gave the ending away. And he didn't care. He didn't care about the poor author. He thought that that made for good radio or good television. So what I tell authors is, if you have a book like that, be ready for somebody who you might think is a big jerk who gives the ending away. How are you going to handle that? And, you know, there's a couple ways to handle it. You could simply say, yeah, you just gave the ending away, but it's the journey from getting from page one to the very last page that readers are really going to enjoy. You know, that kind of thing. So you've got to be ready for just about anything that might happen in an interview. So that's what my session is going to help authors with.
So if someone comes to you and they say, hey, you know, I want to hire you, I'm going to be I got the chance to do a couple live TV interviews or recorded ones, or however they do that, and I'm a nervous wreck, and I don't know what I'm supposed to do. How long would it take to get someone ready? Do you have different kinds of programs that you work with people on?
Yes, Tony, thank you for asking. I do. Typically, most people just need an hour of coaching. So they get it. If you're smart enough to write a book, you're smart enough to learn some of the tricks and tips and techniques that I can teach you. I can also recommend some books that you read if you like to learn that way, or some videos that you can watch. I have a blog. It's not as up-to-date as it should be, but on that blog I have lots of tips for authors. I also do a monthly e-newsletter that's free that people can sign up for. So I know that there's a lot of authors who are interested, so I try to make those tips. A lot of times they're about crisis, but every once in a while there's just a whole section for authors. So I will do an hour, but if I think you need more work and you think you need more work, we can either keep going or we can schedule another hour. Go to sessions like we're having at the Texas Authors Conference. You can see people and hear people and then talk to some of your colleagues about what worked for them. And what I will do in that session, I'm not calling it a hot seat, but I will ask for volunteers who want to come up and answer a few questions. So you get that kind of experience in those live situations, too, that can be beneficial.
So I always tell people, when you go to an event like TX Authors, and you're going to, you know, be able to listen to experts like yourself and Judith Briles, there's just a whole list. And just to meet Alan Bourgeois is, because there's a guy that works so hard to help authors in the state of Texas.
He does.
I mean, he really does. But when I tell people, go bring a friend, bring someone else with you, because it's a lot to absorb by yourself. And you might not be receiving it properly. There's times where I've brought people with me and I go, you know, I don't really get that like that. And they explained it to me differently. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's great. So if people come and they bring a friend, or maybe they come as a group, do you do any type of group coaching?
Oh, I would be happy to. Yeah.
Okay.
In the past, I've done husband and wife.
Sometimes people are scared, you know, to sign up by themselves. And, you know, as you mentioned, authors are very good at writing. But, you know, the marketing part of it, which is probably the most important part about the book, because you could have a book that's not that great of a story that sells more books than a book that has great stories in it. It's just the way it's marketed. So I was curious to see if you did any type of group coaching.
Yeah, and I have. I've done mother-daughter authors on a book together, and I've done husband and wife teams. So, yeah, that's no big deal at all.
Look, so I do compilation books. I get previous guests who are authors who are tired of trying to sell their books, and I put 15 to 30 of them in a book as a compilation book so that they can establish some salespeople to help sell their stories and lead traffic back to their website. Do you come in and do a training with, you know, 15 to 30 co-authors on how to, because, I mean, just out of experience, it's taught me some incredible things. All the, you know, if you have 15 authors, there's about 42 different personalities there. So do you work with those people like that as a group to help them understand the process of marketing their story as well as the book that the stories are in?
Of course. Now, Tony, are we talking business here? Do I need to get my calendar open?
well, you know, in the future, that wouldn't on my next book, that would not be a problem. What I usually do is get someone involved in the book that could either do PR or do, you know, something along those lines. Because for me, it's about teaching, teaching, and teaching. So if I can get you to teach a group of people that I have something, I get to learn right along with them. So, you know, internet radio has been my form of college. For 7 years, I've learned more things about different things that people do than any college I could ever went to. So I'm very thankful for that. But that is another conversation you and I need to have, because we target the same market, and there's no reason why we shouldn't be sharing that market with each other. So, moving forward, okay, you're going to be talking about how authors can come up with sound bites, how they can recognize good sound bites, okay? But the average person, when you say sound bite, they go, huh? So, what is your opening line that allows people to understand that they need to listen to more? Because what is your opening soundbite?
I don't think I prepared well for that question, Tony. Well, you said it a while ago. I work with people who want to say their message clearly and concisely and attract attention with it. And then I work with organizations that need to get through a crisis. They need to communicate to all of their stakeholders in a crisis. I'm good insurance is what I like to tell people, Tony. I can keep authors and small business owners from looking stupid on television or sounding ignorant on the radio. And then I can help companies that might have people who drive for them or people who deal with dangerous chemicals or, you know, there's all kind of industrial things and nightmares. Every every business owner has a nightmare, help you prepare for when that bad news might happen. Because really, it's not a matter of if, it's really a matter of when. And the more prepared you are, the more likely your business is to survive and not fail. So if I can help keep people in business and help them sell books and help them make money, that's going to be a really good day for me.
Mm. Awesome. So I, you know, authors, well, we've established that some of them are introverts.
Yeah.
And so when they come to you, do you find that they're, well, just not really open to allowing you to know what they don't know? So, for instance, you know, I'm right out front and present. I'm going to say, yep, that's me. I make that mistake all the time. I need help. But a lot of people won't do it. I mean, they're authors. Now they have just become experts because they've written a book. And, you know, they're almost going to get like Stephen King money because they're an author now. But 3 months into it, no matter who they hire as a company that's going to push their book out, they have to now become that person that understands what to do with the book. So how do you get them to understand these types of things that are important? For instance, marketing your book, knowing why you need a soundbite to, and where would you go to, for instance, if they're not saying they're going to do a, so I took the long way here. I remember my question now. I apologize. We talked about radio interviews, television interviews, and all that there, okay? But what about book signings? You know, TX Authors does a lot of book fairs and stuff like that. So as an author, you're going to go to a book signing. You set the table up. You got a pretty nice little tablecloth. Put the books all out. Buy a book stand. All that stuff. Now, that's great, okay? Some people can give you chocolates to lure you over, right, to get a piece of candy.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
How do you work with that author to make them come out from behind the table and talk to the people that are standing there and build a relationship with that through sound bites?
Can we put a hold on that question, just pause it for a second? Because I want to go back to the question about the introverts.
Right.
Because you know who's a bigger problem? First of all, if somebody's so introverted that they're not going to listen, they're not going to hire me to help them. They may come to a session, but they may not take my advice. But you know what the bigger problem is? It's the people who think they already know how to do it perfectly. And I'm going to name them by category. And it's not I don't want to stereotype because it's not every single person in these professions. But typically it's pastors and attorneys and people who've had a career in sales. They think that they won't have any trouble at all. Oh, you know, I can talk in front of a camera. Oh, I can answer a reporter's question. And then what happens is they talk way too long and they never get to their point, or they go take the wrong approach because they don't know how a reporter may be different than a customer or a client or somebody sitting in a pew. So those are the people I kind of have to talk like, you know, your second grade teacher to, and get them reined in and talk about taking in the back door of the doghouse. Yeah, so I just wanted to point that out, that some people are overconfident and some people are underconfident. About the book signings, if you use some of these tips and ideas, Tony, that you and I are both talking about at a book signing, you're going to have more people staying longer at your table. You're going to have people interested in wanting to have a conversation with you. They may still not buy your book, but they will remember you, and they might send someone else over to your table who's interested in your genre. You know, there's some book signings that you do individually, say at a bookstore or some other kind of venue, maybe your church. And then there's some of these book fests where there's just tables and tables and tables of authors. And so you do have to stand out with either the big, fancy, decorated table or the chocolates or the candles or, you know, something that they will – people say, hey, what's that all about? So, and it varies. You know, sometimes everybody who comes in is going to want to be interested in fiction. And then 2 hours later, everybody's going to want to be interested in nonfiction. So you can't get down at a book signing. You can't feel like, oh, I'm a failure, because you just might not have had the right people walk in the door.
Okay, so time goes fast here, and I want to make sure that we talk about your books. But I just wanted to make sure that, you know, there's a lot of people that go, well, yeah, I've authored a book, but I'm not going to be on television, and I would never go in front of a camera, and so it doesn't apply to me. But most people will go to a book signing or a book festival where they can get opportunity to sell their books. And I think, and it's just my unprofessional opinion, that that's where the confidence building starts. When you can take what you teach and use it at a book conference or a book signing, what happens is you build enough confidence to where, let's face it, when you wrote the book, you dreamed about being on television for that book. You just might not want to admit that because you don't have the confidence. So people at TX Authors Conference on April 30th, May 1st, will be able to take advantage of what you're teaching them to start out slow, to gain access to more. So I highly recommend that. Now, tell me, what are some of the books you've written?
Well, the book that you mentioned that would be really good for newsmakers is called Be a Newsmaker, Master the Media with Clarity, Command, and Credibility. And it's just the size of a passport. My friend Linda Swindling is brilliant. She did 13 of these passport books and let me write 3 with her. And they're all different colors. But the one I wrote that will help people feel comfortable in front of a microphone or when they're talking to somebody like you, Tony, is the Be a Newsmaker. We also did one on conversations, which probably has some good tips for people at book signings. And we did one on presentation skills, too, for people who have to get up and sell something in front of an audience or people who have to make a presentation and they're not comfortable with it. And then I have a book on txauthors.com, too. It's titled It's All Good News, Encouragement for Every Season, and it's a collection of 52 essays, and it is for the person who is a person of faith. They're not all funny. Some are very serious, but it's just kind of walking through a whole year with a scripture. Some people read it slowly, and some people just sit down and read the whole thing. I've heard both, but I really like it because it tells stories of my dogs and my husband and me and a woman in the workplace. So I think a lot of women especially can relate to it.
So if they go to your website, let's see, where did it go?
Well, they have to go to Texas Authors to get the book of essays. And the Be a Newsmaker I will have, and those other passports I just told you about, I will have those for sale at the COAD on April 30th and May 1st.
Okay, well, I just signed up for your newsletter because it has tips. And I'm a big believer that if I allow myself to learn something every week, I'll be better for it, and I can actually help others in conversations. So a lot of times when people are having conversations, they tend to talk more about themselves than what they could do or help others with. So I feel as though anytime you go to someone's website, and it's soundbitecoach.com, okay, soundbitecoach.com, you can sign up for a free newsletter. Now, to me, you can always unsubscribe, but just think about the information that you might gain by subscribing to it. So, Laura, you've been part of NSA, National Speakers Association, for a period of time, and you stopped for a little while and got back into it again, as you were telling me in the beginning.
Oh, no, I just stopped at the North Texas chapter. I have been a member of NSA for 20 years, but I was telling you that I had been in the North Texas chapter because we were trying to find friends in common. I was for 12 years, and then when we moved to Georgia, and then when we moved to Arizona, I was a member of the chapters there, but NSA is such a great organization. It's good for authors, too, if they want to be speaking professionally.
So do you take soundbite coaching to NSA as well?
Yeah, you know how they use me there typically is for the groups like, well, they'll have a Meet the Pro, and so they'll have people around a table, or they'll have me do a living room, what they call it, a living room, live and learn kind of thing. And so it's Yeah, to answer your question in one word, yes, NSA takes advantage of me.
Okay. Well, I'm do you come down to Houston to do that?
I have been down to Houston. It was probably 7 or 8 years ago. So I don't think you and I met in person that day. But, yeah, I talked to the Houston chapter of the National Speakers Association. And what a great group you have there. So I really enjoyed my time in Houston.
Yeah, I've been going to it and back and forth. Don't know whether to join up. Then I want to join up. Then I don't want to join up. So I'm on the fence with it. You know what I mean? I really am. And I just need to do it.
I really encourage you. Do it.
Yeah, and it's kind of like getting a soundbite coach. You know, if you're thinking about you might should be able to or I shouldn't, I don't know. When you're on that fence, I always recommend just take a step forward, drag your other foot with you so you have a balanced stand, and give it a try. You know, don't just jump out there and think it's going to work all by itself. You have to be willing to participate 100% because all you can do is feed them the information they need to know. They actually have to do the work. So,
that's so right.
So, Lori, tell me, at the authors, TX Authors Convention, what is one thing that you think people will take away from the event? Now, I know that from just meeting Alan is an honor in itself for all the work that man does, but from your workshop, what's the one thing that you think the people are going to walk away with that's going to be helpful to them?
You know, if they walk away and only learn this one thing that I'm about to tell you, it will be worth their time and investment to come to my session. And that one thing is that reporters and hosts like you, Tony, are looking for something in a soundbite. And when reporters get it, they're going to get out of your hair, leave you alone, and go back to the station or go back to the newspaper to meet their deadlines. And what they want to hear in a soundbite is one of two things. And if they can get both things, it's even better. But they want emotion or opinion. So they're listening for phrases like, I think blah, blah, blah. I feel such and such. Why? Because that tells them that an opinion is about to come out. Emotion can be expressed in words, but also in your facial expression. You can't be stoic when you're talking to a reporter. It might be expressed in your hand gestures, in your posture, in how fast you're talking, how passionate are you. That's the emotion aspect. So if you can get emotion and opinion in one short soundbite, then you have got the reporter hooked. And you will probably get asked back again and again when there's a story that relates to your area of expertise. I'll give you an example. This morning, that horrible, horrible incident happened in Brussels. And I was thinking, because I help with people, doing news, I was thinking, who do I know that could talk about terrorism? Who do I know that wrote a book about travel? Who do I know that could get somebody who is maybe stuck in Brussels because they can't get out of the airport, who has the expertise to tell them how to get to an airport out of Paris or London or somewhere else, Malta. So you start thinking that way, and it's really called localizing a story. So when you're an author who has an area of expertise, let's say, Tony, since you have opened so many casinos and riverboats, there's another horrible hurricane that comes and decimates a riverboat that's kind of out in the Gulf. You would be a person who might be able to speak to what the workers are going through, what that company is going to have to do to rebuild, what hardships those workers who live on tips, what they're going to have to do until that riverboat is rebuilt. You've got some expertise, not just in gaming and certainly not just in networking, but also in your background and your history. So reporters have to know that, and sometimes it's just sending an email and saying, hey, you might not have known this about me, but if you ever have a story about XYZ, here's why I can help you. And believe me, they will put that away and keep you as a contact.
That's a great tip. That's because I never really thought about I mean, my book is titled From Las Vegas to the Promised Land, One Man's Journey from Death and Destruction to His Destiny. So it covers adversity, it covers casinos, and it covers Christianity. So there's a lot of different things that you could write to a reporter about just off of that one book that I never even thought about using that for that. So that's a huge
And that's a great
tip.
Title, by the way. That title's almost a soundbite in itself. It's good.
Well, when I started writing the book, of course, I had no idea what the title was going to be. I worked with a ghostwriter, and they said, well, worry about the title after the book is complete. And as the book was being read a little bit here and there by some close friends, a friend of mine came up with the title. Another friend of mine drew out a sketch on a napkin in a small group Bible study, which he thought the cover would look like with that type of title. So my book came together by a bunch of people that helped me because I was willing to reach out and ask for help. And what a blessing for me to do that, because I don't think that I could have got it right by myself. I had no idea what to even do in the beginning. So the point made here is to make sure that you look at what you've written, sit down and have a conversation with either you or someone that does what you do, no matter where you are in the world, okay? You can connect soundbitecoach.com. You can contact Lori and have that conversation. This is something that I just learned that, you know, I'm surrounded here in the South by riverboats, you know, and there's hurricanes and there's all kinds of things like that to happen. I never thought about using my background as that opportunity to be recognized in media. So that's an awesome tip. Thank you.
Joe, you're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're out of time, and I just want to make sure that you get everybody all your contact information, how to connect with you. I'm going to be shaking the bushes to make sure that everyone that I know shows up at the txauthors.com. But how can they find you?
Well, you have been so gracious about repeating my website. It's Soundbite Coach, and bite is spelled B-I-T-E. So soundbitecoach.com. You can sign up for my newsletter there. Would love to add you to that. It's free. And you can send me an email at Lori@soundbitecoach.com. But you've got to spell Lori the way my parents did. It's L-O-R-R-I. You know, typically women with the name only spell it with one R, but they put two R's in. And I married a guy, and his last name is Allen, A-L-L-E-N. So I've got two R's and two L's, if that helps you remember. Or I tell people you love me twice as much, so you put twice as many R's in. So if all that you don't remember, ask Tony what my email address is. But I hope to meet you at the Texas Authors Conference. It is going to be a lot of fun. We're all going to learn. We're all going to learn from each other. We're all going to share best practices. And then we're going to have these great sessions, too, with these experts. So you just can't miss it. If you're thinking about writing a book, you have written a book, or you just want to get more publicity and learn how to market your book better.
Yeah. Yeah, and one of the things I tell people, you don't have to be an author or a speaker. You can be a resource to authors.
Mm-hmm.
Just show up for the conference and see what happens. We're down to the wire, Lori, and I so appreciate your time today. I look so forward to meeting you, and I will be contacting you off the air because there's more things that I want to try to help market that you do. So thank you very much for your time today.
Oh, Tony, thank you for your time. This has been so much fun. I appreciate you.
All right, well, we'll talk soon. Folks, we're up against the clock, so I just want to make sure that everyone knows txauthors.com, okay? I don't even have time to do a recap. If you listen to the show, awesome, awesome guest. Lori with two R's and Allen with two L's. Lori Allen, find her at soundbitecoach.com. I apologize. Soundbitecoach.com. Check her out. We'll see you in April on the 30th and the 1st of May in Austin, Texas. Thank you for tuning in this week and hope to see you next week as well. Talk to you next week.
Mm-hmm.
You have been listening to the Authors Network Radio Show on the Tough Talk Radio Network. If you'd like more information about this show or others, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com.